We thank the Lord for two wonderful ladies. Let's get ready to jump into the Word of God. I was planning on going a different route, and I couldn't shake these thoughts that I was having. So I want to. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. We're just going to read the first portion of the first verse. Here Paul writes, this letter is from Paul. Okay, it's don't you know it's good to know who sent you that letter? Can I just tell you, I've been told by other pastors that are much more experienced than me, if somebody sends you a letter and they don't put their name on it, you don't have to read it. So if you have something to tell me and you're not willing to put your name on it, I probably won't know it because I'm going to throw it in the trash. It could be an anonymous blessing. Okay, but here he says, hey, I'm Paul. I'm writing this to you. This letter is from Paul. Listen to this. Chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. What have you been chosen for? What has God called you to do? Who has God called you to be? That's my challenge this morning. And you may have noticed the title is, First We Have to Be, before we can do anything. We have to know the one who we're talking about. We need to know him. And then after we have been with him, then can we go out and encourage minister to others. And I think that maybe some of you might be a little bit like me. I like to do things. And sometimes we can get too busy. And the Lord says, be mine. Be mine. We can't forsake those times. Matter of fact, I would say that we need to do that every single day. We need to be his every day. We need to spend time with him. We need to grow in him. What are you called to be? What has God chosen you to do? What has God chosen you to be? Who has he chosen you to be? Because the way I read the Word of God, you're his masterpiece. And he has redeemed you. He has cleansed you. He has called you. He has chosen you for, well, like Esther, for such a time as this. Oh, but Pastor, I'm a nobody. Esther was a nobody too. Who God made her somebody. And God wants to make you somebody. Everything that we do in the kingdom is a big deal. Everything. Pastor, all I can do for VBS is help with registration. That's a big deal. Is if we don't have it, they won't get in here. They won't hear about Jesus. We need others to make food. We need others to help and help the kids go to the restroom and feed snacks and crafts and all kinds of things. Every piece of that puzzle is a big deal. Psalm 46, verse 10. Know this verse. And I'm just going to read this first part. This is good for us to remember. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. That's that part of being. We've got to be in his presence on purpose each day. To be recharged, if you will. To get new marching orders, to just be with him and enjoy his presence and enjoy that communion with him. And I wonder, sometimes if this might be the reason that that his church sometimes seems so weak. I don't say that in a condemning way. I say that with the heart that's broken. saying, man, oh God, your church is not supposed to be that way. God's church isn't supposed to be weak. We have the power, don't we? I think we do well to remember that we've got to be still and know that He's God. We've got to be with Him before we can go and do those other things, even those things that He's called us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says. And check this part out. And He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He has invited you into partnership with His Son, or He's called you into fellowship. Do you see the being there that I was talking about? To be in fellowship with Him? And this word here for partnership is fellowship. It's association, joint participation, and constant communion with. Communion not being this, communion being communicating, that fellowship. And you know what? We're going to do some of that tonight with one another at the picnic, which is one of the reasons I look forward to this type of thing, so we can hang out with each other. And in reality, the way I see it, it's all about relationship. It's not, you've heard what they've said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's exactly the case here. In reality, if you know God and He calls you and chooses you and asks you to do something that you've never ever done before, it's not a big deal because God is the one who is on your side, right? So then we just say, okay, because of my relationship with You, because of that fellowship that I have with You, because of that communion, and because I trust You, then this is nothing. We can do this. I remember when I came here as a pastor, never being a pastor before. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But I've had a blast these 4 years. But I trust in the Lord. He knows what He's doing, and I just got to stay on the same page with Him. So it's all about relationship. Another scripture it's not going to be on the screen, but an account to help us to understand this part about that relationship. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They went to cast out this evil spirit, and they said something like, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, come out. And the evil spirit responded and said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? These guys had heard about it, but they didn't know Jesus themselves. They had not begun to be His. The church is supposed to be His bride. If that doesn't give you a good picture of being His, then nothing will. So He's called us into fellowship with Jesus. I like that. Or invited you into partnership with His Son. These things speak to me of relationship. These things speak to me of closeness. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. I want to focus on the four words between those commas. When Christ, who is your life? Again, I'm trying to make the point about being. I'm trying to make the point about being His and spending time with Him and pursuing Him before we go and do these other things. Not that we shouldn't, and I'm going to get to that in a moment, but it's a matter of first being His. And then we do, all right? If Jesus is your life, you will do things to get to know Him, don't you think? You'll do things, you'll put steps in place in your life to get to know him. I would say those are the basic things, the simple things that many of us know to do, but so many don't ever do. Prayer, worship, reading our Bibles. Those things have to be in place in our life. It's so that we can get to know him. Otherwise, I could say, then he might not be your life. And when Christ, who is your life, I love that line. So if Jesus is your life, you will live differently because of your relationship with him. In other words, there are going to be some things that you begin to do, like I just talked about, because you want to get to know him. And there's going to be other things in your life that you stop doing so that it doesn't damage your relationship with him. Right? So if he's your life, he changes things in your life. You stop doing things you used to do, and you start doing things that you know you should do. If Jesus is your life, you will do anything to follow him. If he is your life, you will do anything to follow him. Let's look at John chapter 4. This is the account of the woman at the well, and I'm not going to go through the whole entire story. But as you know, this woman was a Samaritan woman, and Jesus and his partners, his disciples had traveled up to that point, and they had traveled probably a few miles at least. They were tired. It was hot, and the disciples went into town to get some food. They were all hungry, but Jesus had a divine appointment. He had somewhere that he was supposed to be. No, you guys go ahead and get some food. Grab something for me. You know what I like. So they go over and they get some food, and Jesus has this divine appointment with this Samaritan woman. She was going to be at the well. She didn't go to the well at the normal time when the other ladies went to the well to draw water, because she was ashamed of her lifestyle. And they may have judged her, and they may have been mean and cruel to her. But then Jesus shows up. And Jesus just simply says, could you get me some water? I'm thirsty. And she kind of raises her eyebrows, you know. I'm a Samaritan woman, and you're a Jewish man. We don't talk. What's wrong with you? And Jesus said, hey, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you'd be asking me for a drink of living water. Right? Right there it is. Verse 10, Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Look at that first part there. Jesus says, if you only knew the gift God has for you. Put that on yourself this morning. Let me ask you that. If you only knew the gift God has for you as his bride, as one of his kids, son of the king, daughters of the king, if you only knew the gift God has for you. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 11. And she responds, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? She doesn't understand yet, does she? And I wonder if there's many in the church today who sit in our pews who don't understand. Where would you get this living water? Oh, verse 12. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? Yeah. Who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Because, ma'am, I created it all, he could have said. I was there. I was a part of it. We put everything together out of nothing, and then breathe life into your body. Come on. Verse 13, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. Right? You got to have more. You're going to have more. So we're going to continue to get thirsty in this life. Verse 14, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Yeah. You will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Let's look at this fresh, bubbling spring within them for a second. This gives the impression of a gushing like plumply, gushing a lot. Okay, it says there a spring, a bubbling spring. So it's not just a drip, it's not a trickle, it's a bubbling spring. It's a well, it's a fountain, and it gives also the impression that it's the source. Therefore, you don't have to go looking anymore. We don't have to look elsewhere. This woman and her lifestyle, she doesn't have to go looking anywhere else for something that's going to satisfy. And that's one of the words I wanted to bring out this morning is Jesus can satisfy us. We've got to come to a place where we're satisfied in Him, but yet also hungry. But the thing is, we're not looking in everything else to satisfy us, to fulfill us. Jesus Himself fulfills us. And in reality, I believe that this here, what Jesus was talking about, was He was referring to the person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be that fresh bubbling spring within us, that source that would empower us and anoint us to serve God with our whole hearts, to direct our every step, to even help us conquer and control our thought life, and to give us pure motives. And that's why He said, if you want the water that I give, you won't thirst again. Because in reality, then the Holy Spirit lives with us and goes with us everywhere we go. So how many know that some days are tough and some days you're down? And you know what? On those days, I challenge you to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues. When I do that, I get encouraged, I get challenged, I get energized. It's because of that. I tap back into that bubbling spring, church. I tap back into the one who has the power, the one who is the power, the one who holds my every day. And my future. We've got to be satisfied in Jesus, be in love with Him, and be filled with the Spirit. You won't have to search anywhere else. Really, once you find Christ, your search is over. Your search is over. Just start saying yes to Him. Just start saying yes to Him. Jump in the Word of God, and He's going to encourage you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to correct things in your life, and He's going to begin to direct your steps and show you wonderful things. He wants to show us His power, church. I just happen to believe that God wants the world to see His power through the church. God wants the world to be able to see that God is real and alive, but He's going to do it through the church, His people. It's wonderful. We don't need to look anywhere else. We have all that we need in Christ Jesus. Amen. So drink every day. Drink every day. But Pastor, I thought He said that you wouldn't be thirsty again. Yeah, for that kind of, but see, that's the thing. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and He's with us every day. And so we just continue tapping back into Him. That He's as a spring that bubbles up within us. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you've been down and you've been discouraged, and we come to our senses, and we grab a hold of the horns of the altar, and we say, "Lord, I need you. You're the only one that can do. I'm running after you today. You're the joy of my life." See, we've got to be satisfied in Him before we can be satisfied in ministry. I hope that makes some sense this morning. You're never going to be satisfied in ministry if we can't be satisfied in Jesus. Because really, ministry is just the outflow of that vertical relationship. But let's look down in chapter 4, verse 34, when Jesus' disciples come back with the food. And this woman is kind of like walking away now. And they see, like, "Oh, I wonder what happened here." And anyway, they say, "Well, here, Jesus, here's your food." He said, "I don't need it." And then verse 34, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God." My nourishment comes from doing the will of God. And then that ought to be our will, our saying as well. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God. My nourishment comes from serving Him. He's the master, I'm the servant. So I believe that what I'm trying to get across this morning is that first we have to be who He's called us to be. Be that person that's in love with Him. Be that person that walks in relationship with Him. And I'm going to use the word intimacy. Walks in intimacy with the Lord. And then out of that, we begin to minister to others, and we love on them because of the love that we've received in our personal relationship. And that's why Jesus was able to say, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God." You see, it's kind of a fine line, but you've heard me say before, I want people to be in heaven because of my life. I'm not the Savior. I didn't die on a cross. And even if I did die on a cross, it wouldn't be the same as what Jesus did. I would just be dead. He would raise me up, but it would be totally different. Jesus came and He bore all the sins on Himself and to free mankind. Hallelujah. But here He says, "I find a lot of pleasure in serving God, in serving my Father," He said. And this is not a performance kind of thing, okay? This is a relationship, and be out of our relationship. And because we have a relationship, we then want other people to know our Lord and Savior. And that's what it boils down to for us. We want to serve Christ. We want to serve the Father. And continue to do things that are going to honor Him. It's kind of like in James chapter 2, where James asked the question, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions?" Are you with me still? Oh, you say you love Jesus, but then do you do anything to prove that, to show that? See, some of you heard me say it before. I cannot understand how somebody, this saying that I've heard, it's been years ago that I heard it. Oh, you're just too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy it for a second. As if you are heavenly minded, you're going to be a ton of good in this world. Amen. Now, it may not be what people want. Their flesh, it might make their flesh angry. You're going to be a ton of good when you are heavenly minded, when you're led by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit bubbles up inside of you and directs you and gives you even words to say, praise God. You know what? Some of you need to exercise that gift of praying for people and allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to pray through you. It could change their life and yours. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Verse 15, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. So again, we have to have that right relationship with Jesus. We have to have that constant communion. We have to be and walk in the Spirit. We have to run after the Lord. We have to pursue Him and just be His. And then out of that, then we minister to others. And yes, you can minister to others. Sometimes it's just a smile. I'm not kidding. Because you know what? Too often people walk by us and everybody's frowning. Because whatever. Sometimes it's just a smile. I've had that where a smile opened a door for me to talk with someone. Just a smile. To show love and kindness to somebody instead of a frown, which I probably frown more than I smile. I don't know. I don't look at myself that much throughout the day. It's hard to see my face. You know what I mean? That's what mirrors are for. So, church, we need to be. We need to be. And then we do need to minister. I think we need to minister even more so. But we need to make sure that we're being who we're supposed to be before the Lord. And spending time in His presence, spending time in His Word, and getting to know Him and letting Him fill us up. So if that's you this morning, Lord's been tugging on your heart in this message. Just say yes. Lord, I'll do it. I want to be close to you. Lord, I'm hungry for you. And Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit, God, to overflowing. Lord, like the bubbling, that bubbling spring welling up within me. Lord, fill us up. Fill your people up today, God. I ask that you would encourage, and I ask that you would speak to our hearts, God. Thank you for your word. Help us to learn to be yours first. And then, Lord, out of that relationship, let us love other people into the kingdom. Let us love them so that they can have this kind of relationship with you as well. Lord, we give you praise today. We worship you. Lord, I just am grateful for your touch. I'm grateful, God, for your love. Draw us closer and closer to you. Then, God, anoint us in those quiet times, those personal times where it's just you and us. Lord, touch and anoint and help us to minister to others. Lord, even show us who it is that you want us to minister to. God, help us prepare our hearts for those things that we might be ministers of the gospel, bearers of light, your light. God, we give you all the praise today. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to receive of communion this morning.